The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, April 28th, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Last week was a long weekend. Seems as if we had at least two holidays. I don't remember Friday. I don't remember Monday. But I'm here again. It's Monday again. I said, where did the week go? Right? So there's all kind of news that is being highlighted. One or two of them piqued my interest, and I said, Aaron, join me so we can talk about this, and I'll entertain whatever else you want to talk about. But two things I must talk about. Okay, before I start, I live Foxhill. I'm not sure if you know where I live, right, Aaron? I live Foxhill.
I mean, I know where you live. I don't know if I could find it every time I go, though.
Yeah, that's okay, because it goes to go in and out or whatever. I live Foxhill. And in Foxhill, we do Foxhill tours. Miss Dr. Jacinta Higgs has this Foxhill tour, goes to the creek and Sandlin's house and various places.
Did you see the video this weekend where the woman with the water pump, and she had two tourists? It seemed like she was doing a tour, and she was showing how to use it and telling them how they use it typically, traditionally in that community. Is that a part of the walking tour?
I don't know, but I saw the video. I didn't watch it, but I saw the video and I save it to go listen to it, because I saw a tourist was talking. I didn't get to listen to it. I just saw that it was at the pump, and it was some tourist type thing. But recently, I went through Foxdale, right? When you turn into Foxdale, the first right is Robert Sandlin's house, or the ruins of his house is there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a small corner, right? Once upon a time, he owned all of Foxdale, right? And he sold it to a former slave, Mr. Fox, and I forget Mr. Fox's real name, right? Mm-hmm. And he sold allotted lands, basically gave away a lot of lands to former slaves. Only person who did it at that time. So he got the village name after him, Sandlin's Village. Mm-hmm. Then Fox, who bought it from Mr. Sandlin's, got Foxhill Village. But he's very instrumental in the transition of post-slavery for Africans trying to get property and access to land, right? So his ruins is there. His ruins is a part of the tour. And the picture of the corner can only be one car, can be driven at a time. That's how narrow the corner is.
Yeah.
So there's a big construction, a two-story, could be a condominium, or just could be an extended apartment. And then there's another construction at the end of the corner, a big yard. And they are dumping the debris
into the lot that
it
contains the ruins of Mr. Sandlin's, who holds Sandlin's name after.
Right on the ruins.
Man, at what point are we just going to shut it down? Why we can't just, could we just shut it down until something sensible happens?
I don't know. And mind you, everyone in this corner know what the ruins is, right? So there's no excuse that they don't. And I didn't fault the construction workers who looked at me hard to say, why am I taking their picture?
Yes, you're supposed to fault them.
No, I can't fight
them. No, I didn't say fight them.
I come with my camera.
I didn't say fight them, but of course you fault them. Because how are you a whole massive construction company that have to get millions of dollars of insurance to operate properly, to get access to the finances to conduct this type of business, but you didn't realize that you had to designate an area to store your trash and debris? Look at that empty lot over there. We could throw all the trash there.
With that old house.
Hold on. Are the same people who develop in Wynn, the people who tell the people they could park their car on the median and had the people parking in the road in Cable Beach opposite the office of the Prime Minister? Are these the same developers? Because I could understand the same type of thinking.
It seems to be a smaller developer than that. And because it's a small corner. So it's a small development, but they trash the ruins. And I'm looking at this, but everybody knows that's the ruins of Sandlin's. They know that this was built in the mid-1800s, right?
Okay, so first of all, I can be honest with you. I did not know.
But you don't do tours, like how I do tours.
Right, I don't frequent that area, right? So I can say, I didn't know, right? But I have the good sense to know that if I am responsible from removing debris from a site, that I can't just go dump it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like I work for water and sewerage and I came through and I did a whole road works exercise and then left all the asphalt on the side of the road. And when the team who came to patch the road after the exercise was asked if they're going to remove the debris, they said, oh, no, we ain't get paid to remove the debris. Mm. You know, like maybe if I work for water and sewerage, I could see that happen. Sandilands, the Sandilands, Village Sandilands.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that so the powers that may that be can pass through the corner. The thing is, the place have neighbors in it. I wouldn't say, how come the neighbors can say, hey, that's Mr. Sandilands, ruins mine, don't do that.
How old was the structure?
Okay, picture slavery, that's 1838.
Yeah.
Right? The structure was there before 1838. So
easily over 200 years.
There you go. That's my point. It's over. It's over 100 odd years now
because they are
post-slavery, around that time.
As soon as I figure out if I pay in this traffic ticket or not, I think I can turn my life to crime.
Pay that traffic ticket.
I mean, like, I have to do that before I turn my life to crime.
Another concern I want to discuss is, I'm going to draw in Montague Beach. Then I'm going to draw in. What a beach name. Goodman's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to draw in Junkanoo Beach. I want to have all three of those beaches in this conversation. And then we'll narrow it to just Montague Beach.
Okay.
Right? I'm not sure if you've noticed that a number of independent sellers, Bohemians. So this is why I have mixed feelings.
Hold on, Montague Beach?
I go in all. I go in straight across. Mm-hmm. That's why you call it three different beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mixed feelings with our Bohemians. Mm-hmm. And this way you can speak about the people who drive the what do you call the driving people?
The taxi drivers?
Not the taxi drivers.
Surrey drivers?
Not the Surrey drivers. The people who's calling and say, I need Uber. The Uber people.
Oh, the ride share?
Yes, if we bring that in. Because again, I don't want to discourage Bohemians who are trying to be entrepreneurs and start a business. Right? But I'm not sure if Bohemians, the people who are in charge of parks and beaches, are noticing the encroachment of the beach by vendors, that I have no longer have access to the beach and the sand because vendors are now putting up stalls, that they have chairs and they say, no, these chairs are from tourism, I guess. I said, but why can't I sit here? This is a public beach, and the public beach is slowly becoming private and they're expanding. If you go to even by the fish fry, there is a fish fry vendors. And if you go east of the fish fry,
east of the road to take you to the port.
Yes. There are makeshift businesses popping up. Again, taking the parking. This is where I go into Montague now. There are now private entities who take the whole parking. You can't even park no more at sections on Montague Beach because they own it. They say, no, this could be my business place. And I've taken this parking space because you don't deserve to have access to it. Go ahead.
It's not just that. Montague in particular, the patrons of Montague, the people who use Montague, they've just decided that there are no rules. It appears as if the vendors have decided that there are no rules. Over 10 years ago, I attempted to get a vendor's permit to go onto Montague Beach, right? We started with Montague Ramp. And after talking to some of the vendors on Montague Ramp and hearing some of the attitudes and concerns, like somebody said to me, man, Green, you don't need to be out here. Somebody needs this space more than you need it, right? So we ended our quest at that point. It was a reasonable point to make. But we were told to be on Montague Beach, we would need to be able at the end of the day to pack up our business into the requirements of a temporary vendor's permit. You have to pack up your business entirely, and upon inspection, there's no evidence of your occupation of the space, right? So when you leave at the end of the day, nobody should be able to tell that you were set up here. Mm-hmm. That was the requirements presented to us when we attempted to get a temporary vendor's permit for Montague Beach and or Ramp. Right now on Montague, you got two permanent businesses.
Two permanent businesses. One take the whole thing up.
One take up the whole gazebo, mm-hmm, on the western side. Then you have taxi drivers who fill up the spaces. Then you have vendors who decide that they can park. They decide that the grass on the park was put there for them to park their vehicles on. while children's supposed to be playing and other people supposed to be exercising. Then you have the people who come out with extremely loud music of all sorts, from gospel to dance hall, mm-hmm. right? Invading the space. It's just an unreasonably loud volume of sound and music. And then to the patrons who have decided that they don't have to follow any rules. They could enter the beach from the, they could exit the beach from the entrances. And then the taxis last week, I was stuck behind cars on Eastern Road trying to cross over from East Bay, trying to cross over onto Eastern Road past the ramp. Why were we stuck, Mr. Newry? Mm-hmm. Because a taxi was attempting to reverse into the intersection from the beach in the middle of moving traffic. And the driver of the taxi was hesitating. And there was another person on the beach rowing them, telling them, just reverse your car into oncoming traffic. The taxi drivers have impeded the entrance to Montague Ramp by parking their cars in non-parking spaces, parking their cars on the sidewalk. I mean, they've got one. In fact, Montague Beach has the best sidewalk in the country. Mm-hmm. In that sidewalk exercise, mm-hmm. it was the only set of sidewalk that had proper drainage in it. Mm-hmm. The sidewalks on the beach side, they're perfect. I mean, they raise high enough. They're perfect. Why do taxi drivers think that God put that sidewalk there for them to park their cars on? Hold on. Then you got the people in their boats in the harbor. We don't know if they... I think they operate in Airbnbs in the harbor.
Let's talk about that separate. Let's talk... On Montague Beach, call ICU. Prep to call it there.
And then also stick up, we can talk about the billboards and the people whose and job it is to remove them.
Whoever is managing Montague Beach needs to go and look at what's happening in Montague Beach. Mm-hmm. But there is an increase, an overwhelmingly increase of ships, boats, being, what is it called?
Mooring.
Mooring at that Montague Beach.
Montague Harbor, yeah. Right,
and I am concerned, and someone needs to address it. They use it as their self-parking boat shipyard right there, and it is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
It is a concern. But let me get this caller here, and then we'll sum up and we'll start talking about this ride share and other highlights for the week. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM. I just venting today.
Great show. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, you all talk about everything else pertaining to Montague Beach, right? But you all skip the most very important part.
What's that? Them who like to fish on the whale tail? Even though people that swim there?
Nope. Oh, yeah. The vendors cleaning the fish, gutting the fish about 20 feet away from where people swim in. Make it make sense.
Now,
you realize sharks could smell blood up to 4,400 meters?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So please make it make sense.
No. Historically, the beach and the ramp have operated next to each other with minimal, virtually no problem. And I'm telling you this because I learned how to swim at Montague Beach. There's about 4 years where I went to Montague Beach every weekday after work. My mother would take me there. I never had to talk with a shark. Now,
yeah,
I have seen...
What's going to happen when you finally have a talk with a shark?
Hold on. I that's why I wear shoes in the water. I see when the swordfish, I don't know if you saw the pictures in the video, when the swordfish swam up to shore and the boy thought he could catch the swordfish and the swordfish break his finger.
No, I didn't watch that one.
I saw that one too, right? So there is a concern, but historically the beach and the ramp have operated well together. Now, here's the thing. We on an archipelago, a small island, shark is everywhere. Why don't we have lifeguards on public beaches? That's it. Because
yeah, what we can do when a shark finally bites someone, you know what we can do? We can blame the least person in this, the shark. We can say, oh, the shark vicious.
No,
so
man.
What you doing in the water?
I ain't gonna let them blame the shark.
They can say, oh, the shark dangerous. The shark biting the people.
Yeah, that's up, mate.
Makes sense.
I with you.
Thank you very much.
I ain't never called the police.
Why? I'm still vexed at the former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis. Do you know, in the middle of COVID, the good gentleman allowed me to swim on the beach at night, at least early in the morning. You had to go there 4 o'clock in the morning, in the dark, swimming in Montague Beach, because I had no access to the beach at all. And my name come up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 to 6, and I had to go home afterwards, in the dark, at Montague Beach.
The solar bears wasn't there?
No, it was just dark.
Just a group of elderly people.
Yes, they came there and swam in the dark too. And I said, surely this is not smart. My former prime minister forced us to swim in the dark. And people say, why are you so mad? I ain't gonna never forget. So I will always remember. I swam in the dark. I can't swim, but it was dark.
Listen, some people use drugs and some people go in the water at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I was one of those.
Adrenaline. Okay. Yeah. Aaron and CA, who's in charge of beaches and parks? Because I have an issue with people parking on the grass at Goodman's Bay or driving their cars on the walking pathway.
Mm-hmm.
You serious? See, the people them is telling me I just be making noise for no reason. Also, please address the ATV operators who direct traffic and expect others to follow their instructions. I mean, ATVs who looking to get hurt because they doing foolishness. And they actually, you know, they act like they're police officers. They'll stop traffic in the middle of the road to let their whole convoy of vehicles run the stop sign out in front of you like they are authorized police enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I see the phone line lit up. Have you seen the ginormous billboard that was just put up on Montague rather than the issue getting better? It's worse.
There's a lot of billboards on Montague.
Those billboards are supposed to be removed at a certain point, just like political
things. They're there for life.
I can take them down. I can help you.
Mm.
I can help you dispose of your trash properly. I need a several good top.
Mm.
And I need several pieces of good wood. I can help you take them down.
Mm.
All right, I see the phone line, and we got plenty of text.
Oh, read one more text and then go to the phone line.
A good question is, why don't we have proper piers for the public to fish from?
Who would be in charge? What ministry would be in charge of piers? Say, hey, this could be a fishing place for behemoths.
Well, fisheries, Ministry of Works, there would be some intersection with national security, because at least for patrolling, some sort of protocol for monitoring, right? But there should be designated areas for fishing and cleaning fish so that the swimmers are not unnecessarily at risk.
And mind you, there are places on that eastern side that can do that. Let's go to this caller first. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, good morning, Yuri.
Good morning, man. I just venting this morning.
Listen, the destruction of the Montague area is a sore point for me. In addition to it being somewhere where I used to go to exercise all the time,
mm-hmm.
it was somewhere where I went to chill.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that over the last, I would say, 10 or more years, whenever there was a function, particularly a government-sponsored function, like the best of the best or whatever they call it,
mm-hmm.
they have always destroyed the trees. You can hardly find somewhere to park under a tree on Montague Beach. Every single time.
But compare it to Junkanoo Beach, because you used to frequent Junkanoo Beach at one point in time. What about that area? Because I can't even see the beach no more.
Well, Junkanoo Beach didn't have trees. I'm talking about the trees.
The trees.
In the back of Junkanoo Beach, they rent umbrellas. And that's fine, because it's close to the sea. But the Montague area, in addition to swimming, people used to just park and have lunch.
Yeah.
You can hardly find anywhere to park under a tree. Maybe there's one or two coconut trees left, but after every major function that successive governments have had on Montague Beach, they took it upon themselves to just destroy the...
You know what a part of the problem is, ma'am?
That's a sore point for me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to incur any risk with coconuts falling on your car while it's parked under a coconut tree.
That was not it. They needed to move the trees to put up stages. That is what it was.
Okay, so because cars shouldn't park on the grass, right? Where the stages go. Cars should get parked in the parking lot. We can line the parking lot with trees, right? So that there's shade lining the parking areas, but then that would also require regular maintenance of the trees to ensure that coconuts don't drop on them.
You're either running out or you're not familiar with how people used to go on Montague Beach and park and just sit and have lunch.
Yeah, but you're still not supposed to park.
That anybody could park under.
You're not supposed to park on the grass. That's a part of the problem. A part of the problem is you're not supposed to park on the grass. I agree with you.
So that's the reason why they pulled up all the trees? Is that the reason?
There are multiple reasons why they pulled up all the trees, ma'am.
No, there was one reason, and the government-sponsored function They took out the tree.
That's good, but the point is that...
You're talking to somebody who used to exercise on Montague Beach on a daily basis.
I mean, you're also talking to somebody who's lived in the area for 44 years and have frequented the beach almost every other day for 35 of those years, right? Like, we both have equal access, opportunity, and experience with the beach. I can appreciate you saying that they removed the trees to make it easier for them to have concerts, right? But the idea that it's a problem because I can't park my car under the tree is also problematic because the park's supposed to be open for people to do park things in, not park their cars.
Well, forget parking the car. Just sitting under a tree having a picnic.
Right, but
forget about the cars.
But you can't do that now.
The trees aren't there to do that.
Because people are now parking everywhere and anywhere in the park.
In the long and short, we need to look into it. Whoever manages the Montague Beach area needs to go there and sit down and watch and control that area. Something is wrong. But let's move on to the next one. Guardian Radio AM. Call Garen once. Call Garen twice. Okay. Let's read some more text there, Aaron.
Somebody said, don't watch nothing. Put the body cam on the shark.
Oh, God.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Aaron, I'm happy you brought up those points about Montague Beach. I agree with you 100%. It's very concerning. All of those need to be addressed. Good morning, Aaron and CA. That new condominium complex on West Bay Street opposite the PM's office apparently doesn't have parking for their staff. I want you to know that in their prospectus, they let you know, we don't have sufficient parking for the number of people we expect to stay, to be residents of the space, right? Mm-hmm. But they said it doesn't have parking
Didn't
for their staff.
That company announced that it's going to build parking space?
They had made some sort of announcement that they were attempting to mitigate the matter in some sort of way. But I see pictures, I see cars parking on the median still.
Mm-hmm.
Still, 2025, 2 days before May.
Okay, you have any more text?
I go to the
phone line, hang up just now. I can wait till they call back.
All right, there's a...
Okay, in the meantime, you find your text?
Yeah.
Because in the meantime, I'm uneasy about this ride share thing and the new rules. I accept the rules.
What
you
rules?
Hold on. The law. The accepted law.
Okay.
You can't not be operating a business without a proper license and insurance. We knew that. Even the people who have the scooter that all the time, you can't be operating. However, there seems to be a need for people to get into that business.
No.
There should be a conversation about that.
There is a need that exists. Mm-hmm. The question is this sector the actual solution?
I don't know.
Just have the conversation.
The conversation's not being had.
There's a need for alternate transportation options.
Yes.
That's a given.
Yes.
There's a need for more affordable
transportation
services.
Yes.
And the question is, does the rideshare industry as it is currently being proposed, mm-hmm. and let me stick a pin, and actually being operated illegally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that actually solve the problem to consistent and reliable access to affordable transportation options? So, and I'm going to argue that it doesn't.
Let's go argue that again, but let's go to the calls now. Callers, I see you. So now the time to call in, so I can fit you in at this point in time. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I called the show earlier, right? And I asked them a question, and they said they couldn't give me an answer, you know? I wonder if you could give me an answer for it. You know, the government is talk about making these with the not generation, but power production right at BPL, right? But my question to them was whether the government was billing power production or they was billing for themselves or billing for BPL to own it. Could you answer that for me, please?
Well, the government owns BPL.
I'm not but BPL. I'm talking about the power production proponent of it, not the power generation, but the power production, you know? Like the solar farms and whatever.
We don't have any solar farms.
BPL's going to own that?
I would have to get more information. I didn't know.
That's kind of strange to me because, you know, I feel like that should be asked. That should that should be known. You know.
You saw a quote.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so here's the cover. Quote: BPL deals will be publicized. Close quotes. Subcaption: hold on, let me read the whole thing. It's hilarious. PM still committed.
Still committed.
To making energy reform documents public. OPM says.
Soon.
So that doesn't say anything about the own, you know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
It's about nothing.
You're missing the point. The fine gentleman is suggesting to you that the commitment is, they still committed to showing you the documents. What do you mean you still committed to showing me the documents, good sir? In fact, it's a year after you told us you all had everything in place.
See, they saying they want to sell us at all. We're going to pay less. But that ain't, you know what I'm saying? That's not relevant to my question.
In fact, last week prepared for a significant period of time where you're going to pay more before you pay less.
See, remember when we owned Batelco, right? All the profits that Batelco made came back to us. Now, saying, and you know what I'm saying? And it seems like the FNM, they can't say anything about the, you know what I'm saying, our profits being privatized, being owned by somebody else. And we just getting better services or cheaper bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we getting out of the deal. All the things that we were able to do with our profits from BPL, not mean from Batelco, that's gone. So
man, it is definitely something that we're bringing up again and analyze. And I appreciate it, Colo. Good. Did the caller hang up? Yes. So let's go. Okay, let the caller call back. So let's go speak to this caller first before we talk about this ride share and opportunities for Bohemians. And I appreciate your point. This may not be the ideal concept now. Should we be discussing opportunities for Bohemians? And that's where I'm at. Let's go, caller. Guardian Radio AMC Anuri.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah,
listen to the last caller. The fact that the PM has to say that he would make it public is very disturbing for me in the 21st century because the Rastaman was calling, I think Chris is his name, he had said that, and I'd mentioned this years ago, that we should, transparency is having a camera in the meeting when you're sitting with transnational companies or whoever and discussing the people's business. We shouldn't have to be waiting on a human to make it public. It should be public if you are using the word transparency, you know? I mean, and I thought that one is over, but I'm hoping that someone who's in their sound mind, who's much older than me, can call in and maybe you can have a show on a brief chronological history of the beaches in the country and how they were annexed gradually. Because, Aaron, do you remember there used to be on the southern side of Pilots Island on the eastern end?
Yeah.
Right there, the Ocean Club Estates, you know, there was a beach there. And then when we was young, we used to go on Alice Island by where they keep the lions and all them things when they had the zoo there before they even put Chalk's Airlines there and all them different things there. So and then I look at the Montague Ramp and I look at the gradual degradation, even though they say they kind of like man-made those beaches, right? Anyone who's older than me or around my age should know that even when you walk on the seabed, the sands feel nastier. And even outside this beach, it doesn't feel the same. The water doesn't look the same. It's more turbid. And then I like how C.A. Nuri mentioned the fact that these vendors on the beach with a million chairs, and then you have Bama to the west with a million chairs, but I don't study them, I just run. But what I'm saying is, right, you know, this is pathetic. The new province is only 7x21. So I don't know if you guys really, really know, but the experiment in which rodents were placed in compartments and they were allowed to proliferate, and then they became belligerent and they stopped having babies and they show animosity towards one another. This is exactly what's going on in the country. But the very, very smart, clairvoyant, imbecilic politicians doing. What they're doing is they're actually fusing everybody together to bring more contention. So you have no space. You have no green space to in this concrete hell to meditate, which is a part of keeping your sanity. It really is. Even if you're a reader, you need to meditate. This is what it's all about. Even spirituality, meditation is key. So where can you find these green spaces? So they're not really thinking about our well-being, given the fact that psychiatrists have hijacked society and made depression and anxiety disease because they control the world and they're very hubris about it. Okay, now we need someone. Let's look at Goodman's Bay. With this Guinea, what the project is down there, Aaron? The project that's just east of Goodman's Bay.
Gin.
Win.
I don't drink gin no more. Yeah, it's against
win.
The law.
We can call it.
Hold on. Let's call it the one shaped like a cruise ship.
Okay.
Yeah, but they are the next the final pathway to the east of that, that Minnis was talking about. That, and I saw the difference because you're supposed to be able to get access it from that area, because I used to actually jog from West Bay Street and enter the beach from the eastern side. So what I'm saying is we have no hope, Ms. Green. It's just like, when are we as people going to realize and fight for anything in this country when it looks like, well, all the beaches to the south? And basically, do you enjoy any of the beaches on the southern coast? I don't.
Yeah.
The level is different. You have to go a mile out. You understand what I'm saying? And so the text who texted about putting the camera on the shark, well, I prefer to put a transponder on him, so maybe then you can know where he is. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't. I mean, every man, what's going on? In this
we have a greater likelihood of seeing the footage.
The BS that's going on.
Thank you, 52.
Right.
We have a better chance of seeing the footage from the shark than from the government.
So let's debate this. I understand your anxiety.
I haven't finished listing.
Yeah,
my argument.
Like I say,
yeah.
I understand all of that. My question to you is, Shin, on empowering behemoths to enter a new type of ride share industry.
Okay.
Not saying the way it is now. I'm talking about should there be a discussion. Say, well,
no.
The conclusion, we don't like how that is now, but we want you to have a discussion on how we see it.
I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
I can tell you why. Here's why. Normally, yes. In other situations, I can tell you yes. In this specific situation, no. And the reason why is this. What are the reasons why we need this rideshare service? It's very simple.
Go ahead.
The taxi sector has decided, right? They don't have to pick up Bahamians. Right? They don't have to pick up Bahamians. They don't want to. They don't have to. That's why people need rideshare, right? There's some things you want to big shop in. Right? You can't do that on the jitney. I get that part. But taxis should be accessible to Bahamians. And that means both affordable, like I have the money to access it, and available. They make themselves available to Bahamians. There is no reason why you have a taxi service in the Bahamas and Bahamians know that it's not for them.
Our minister just recently increased the taxi fare, and they plan to increase it shortly again. So they have concluded that the taxis don't make enough money.
I have concluded that they don't make enough sense, because here's what the problem is right there.
Mm-hmm.
She increased the number of taxi plates available, mm-hmm. right? So people are, is more vehicles, greater supply, same demand, right? Because they don't want to provide the service for Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
The taxis could make money if they actually serviced the local population.
But now that they seemingly have concluded that they won't, for whatever reason.
Shut them down.
Shut the taxis down.
What type of, hold on, see, because this is why it's so ridiculous. What type of plantation is this?
It's the big one.
That the taxi union could say, we're not encouraging, we don't care that taxi drivers are not picking up Bahamians. We don't care. Here's the next problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who does the taxi union think they are? Do they think they're the 1940s taxi union? Do they think they're the taxi union that's instrumental in bringing the country through majority rule into independence?
Mm.
They think that's them now? Or is this the same taxi union where the boy got up in the press conference with the minister and said, no, no, man, we good. We don't need nothing. We good for the next 100 years. Mm. Out. And the new taxi union president agitating again, right? The problem is with the taxi union and the political class that thinks that they could wrangle this mini plantation for votes at the end of the day. What do you mean it's 2025 and Bahamians cannot rely on a local taxi to pick them up in their own country? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, the rideshare service, the cost is equal to taxi rates.
Well, the rideshare service is $5 and $10. You can afford that.
You think it's $5 and $10?
Yeah, it's
okay,
$10. I know taxi starts off at $20 and $40.
What do you think the distance is for $10? And what do you think the person is doing in the rideshare? The rates are comparable to the taxi service, and the vast majority of people who need the service actually need a proper functioning jitney transportation service that runs 24/7 a day and has capacity to carry small bags for passengers.
Caller, I see you. And we're going to take a quick break, caller. So call back or we can place you on hold. It's going to be only about 30 seconds, less than a minute, and we'll come back to you directly. It's Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're discussing this rideshare thing. I disagree with Aaron. I think we need to make space for these ridesharers, create some rules and some laws and some regulations.
Hold on. We have the rules and laws and regulations.
For taxi drivers.
Rules on the road are for everybody, and every single advert I've seen from every single rideshare company I've seen has blatant traffic infractions visible in the commercial. The driver's driving with their cell phone in their hand, no seat belts on.
That sound like
they turn in back.
They sound like they're the police. Don't the police do that? This is Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, £15, £16.50, £30, £19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We still have this caller holding. Let's go to that caller first, and then you can make some other points. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Caller, you holding? Yeah, I came back to you. I tell you, I was going to come back to you directly. But you can call back, and I'll make room for you. Whenever it blinks up, I'll just bring you into the conversation. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. So I got a text here that says, Aaron, I agree with CA. We need to carve out a market for rideshare services because taxi drivers ain't on local people run. These taxi drivers do not want to service the local residents. I was told by multiple taxi drivers that they either couldn't drop me or to wait until they come back from dropping tourists, and the charge would be 100 Neiman's Bay area. See, here's the problem, Nuri. The problem is you're going to create another industry to not be regulated. The police are not regulating the taxi and transportation service, right? The good members, the good examples in that sector are unable to police their own colleagues, right? You can't even get taxi drivers. I mean, I've seen an improvement in the behavior, but you know how many taxi drivers and tour bus drivers and livery drivers is just turned right on red at Mackey Street? They don't care. They think they've been authorized as super special citizens. And they could, they like police, and they could do what they want. So my concern is that, of course, we should always be having conversations about opportunities for Bahamians and expanding new industries. But given the nature of the sector, which is transportation, and the nature of the existing environment, which is a complete and utter lack of enforcement, a complete and utter lack of enforcement in the area. And then let's add to that that every commercial that I have seen, just in the driver not wearing seatbelts, the driver has a cell phone in his hand, they're not using the turn signals when they're driving. Like, I don't get the impression that you even understand what the rules are in the sector that you're going to be entering. Then the major problem is this. If y'all are saying that we need a rideshare business because the taxis won't service locals, they won't work with anybody, right? Well, then how are these people going to be insured?
Insure them.
How are you going to insure them?
Negotiating how
to you don't think the taxi union in that space is going to lobby to the hilt to keep these people out of that space?
No, because they don't pick up behemoths. They ain't targeting tourists. They won't target
you behemoths. Think they have... you?
They have a different industry. Call back.
Shadon Gray. Shadon Gray, limo and taxi service provider. He's called the show regularly to bring balance to the conversation. I appreciate it. To remind us that it's a broad brush, we understand, but it's not every single entity or driver. But even some of the guys witness their vehicles doing the ultimate foolishness every day on the road, man.
Let's go to this caller. Producer Patrick, call us through for me, please. Go ahead, call us. Thank you very much for your patience. Guardian Radio AM.
I'd like to chime in on this topic here, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, taxi drivers do not pick up behemoths. I have a story to tell you. In 2015, it's probably around July time. It's approximately 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11 o'clock in the night. I call the taxi, right? And they say, yes, sir. I said, well, I'd like to carry someone from Foxtel to Step Street, right? Mm-hmm. They tell me, say, sir, we don't go that way. So I tell them, I fully explain them. I said, well, you know, you probably misinterpret me. I said, Foxtel to Step Street. I did not say Black Village. So he politely told me, sir, we still ain't coming that way. So, yes, you are absolutely correct. They don't want to make right. You ever took a taxi from the airport to Foxtel with three people?
That's like $150.
It's equivalent to the price of a plane ticket to Miami.
Yeah, but I just need to stick a pin there. $150 what?
From the airport to Fox Hill.
No. It's far more than that.
My Lord. Because it's like $70 to go to Bahama, from the airport to Bahama.
70?
Yes, it's some money.
Listen, I need a musician. Kermit, hook me up with a musician. I turn in my life to crime. I can have a theme song. I can have a uniform. I can have everything. I can have everything, Yuri. See, do there need to be opportunities for Bahamians? Yes. Every opportunity, Bahamians should be centered in it. We shouldn't be talking about opportunities if they're not for Bahamians, right? But is this the sector right now that we're going to do it in? And given the behavior, so these guys just figure they're going to force their way into legitimacy by just doing it and hiring enough people so the government could say, oh, there's too many people to fire. But all of those people have been operating illegally if they don't have a public service license, if they don't have a taxi plate, if they don't have authorization to provide a public transportation service that is sufficient for them to get the requisite or necessary insurance coverage. What happens if a Bahamian dies in a traffic accident? Do these companies have the insurance coverage or the capacity to gain, to access the coverage necessary to run this operation properly? Are you going to bar non-Bahamians from using the experience? You're going to say, look here, you're not allowed to carry tourists in your rideshare service because you don't have the level of insurance coverage necessary.
Rideshare will be for Bahamians. It's a separate entry. It's a Bahamian. You know, like how they have Cuban dollars and U.S. dollars. What are Cuban dollars where they don't allow tourists to buy?
I think one is the CUC and one is the CAC.
Yeah, they have a whole separate money
for local. Yeah, when I went to Cuba, I thought I was going to be balling, and then it turns out that I look Cuban.
Yeah, you do look Cuban.
But I don't sound Cuban at all. But
yeah. Another thing I want to commend.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister for. And the commend may be a strong word, but I am grateful to him. I shout kudos to him in reference to the Cuban
PM talking to Cuba over workers' pay.
And the reason why I commended him, because I found that a number of politicians were playing politics right? Especially people from the South. Even we have some local politicians also. The Americans don't know what they're talking about. They shouldn't be talking politics. We need the Cuban doctors and nurses. We're not going to jeopardize the Cuban doctors and nurses when there may be some truth. Remember when the leak came out on that?
From the Human Rights Organization of America?
And of course, I think it's the chairman of the PLP who said, oh, this might be against the, what do you call this?
Breaching certain protocols in terms of privacy.
What that word is, what do you say when you treason? He didn't use the word treasonous.
He used the word treasonous?
I think he said treasonous.
No, man.
I'm sure
for this situation?
Yeah, saying that it may be treasonous because the information was leaked, right? But now we have a sober prime minister realizing that despite the information has been leaked, that this situation warrants some conversation, right? Because it's indecent for professionals to be getting such small amount of their pay when they are performing a duty. And he is our prime minister, other than the rest of the prime ministers around the Caribbean, saying that he is prepared to look at it. He's prepared to debate it. He'll back whatever wrongs there might be. Those other Caribbean countries said, man, the heavens with that. They ain't doing nothing.
You remember the movie Brigadoon that used to come on ZNS?
Yes.
About the magical place that the portal only opened up every 100 years?
Yes.
Every 100 years, I want my prime minister to go on stage and with a local musician, a regional musician, and call them the girls, them sugar. Every 100 years, I want a different type of response, Nuri. Mm-hmm. I thought that in these conversations, the prime minister would have been compelling CARICOM as a regional body to, in its response to the U.S. about the Cuban medical brigade saga and visa restriction policy, that they would have made a strong statement denouncing the embargo on Cuba, understanding that the Cuban medical brigade did not create itself in a vacuum, that it is a response to a specific imperialist economic agenda and a more general economic, imperialist economic agenda in the region, including the Bahamas, right? Like, let's have some real talk.
I hear you, and I even agree with that. Even though I know the Bahamas tend to make that statement every time they go to the United Nations, it's a constant refrain that our government, for sure,
because
says.
What?
And that's the highest it possibly could get to, the United Nations. They constantly remind that. However, our success, our salvation, our position in the world right now is based on the embargo. When you move that embargo, you'll see that we will slip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stations.
You're saying that Cuba's tourism product will completely...
No, their tourism product is already more than ours already. Despite them buying the millions in terms of cruise ship stopovers and European stopovers, right? We haven't reached those numbers yet, right? I think we're fifth in the Caribbean, right? Despite the embargo. So imagine when the embargo lift off and now they have American tourists. You think we have it hard or challenging now? We can see what challenging is. Our lot is with... They shutting down that. That's just me. I just pragmatic when I analyze things. And man, so I know you having it hard. I benefiting you from your hardship.
Here's the next question. What happens to the Bahamas without the Cuban medical brigade?
We need to pay our nurses. Start hiring more doctors. We have some Ghana. What are the people from Ghana called? They ain't called Ghanaians.
Ghanaians.
Let's get some Ghanaians doctors here. They speak English. I mean, it's kind of brackish, but if you listen closely, you gotta understand what he's saying.
Well, we know brackish. We brackish water people.
Yeah,
we okay with that.
Let those Africans come here. They look like us.
So what about the Cubans?
We benefit from them being embargoed. They straight. Let their government work with that. Since we ain't worrying about communism and things, let them work with that. Like Cuba?
Yeah.
You need to live there for a while.
I like the Cuban people.
Live there for a while.
I don't speak Spanish.
You don't speak? Learn that. I don't speak Ghanaian, yeah, but they speak English.
I speak Ghanaian.
You speak Ghanaian. You look like them. You look like someone I know from Ghana.
Cameroon. I speak African.
You speak... That's a language?
It's a continent.
It's a continent.
It's an experience.
It's an experience.
It's a heritage.
It's a heritage.
I just saying, right? Like Go the ahead. Conversation. I appreciate the sentiment because
yes,
it needs to
I
be addressed.
I appreciate the prime minister.
It needs to be addressed, mm-hmm. right? That even in the midst of a larger imperialist agenda, we still need to be fair and balanced with yes. our brethren in the system.
Yes, and he's the only one who has so far, amongst all the prime ministers, especially with the female prime minister who is the leader of the Caribbean, who was making noise.
The one who was on stage and called Beanie Man the Gals Dem Sugar?
She did that too.
Every 100 years. I like that.
Lord of mercy. Anyway. She has yet to acknowledge that it's a possible flaw. But our prime minister said he will look into it. That's a trailblazer.
Now,
he needs to be acknowledged.
We don't know that. Hold on. We don't know that you don't know that?
When she said. Every time she talk, it goes global. Shit, I would have had it right on my page. He ain't going global.
I going to do that research. I don't believe. I don't know if I believe
she
you.
She ain't say nothing. She just say, she dare them.
Did she hum?
No, she ain't hum. Our prime minister is the hummer. I just want to commend our prime minister because, like I said, the rest of the Caribbean, what's that Gonzalez man from St. Vincent?
Ralph?
Yeah, he dancing all over the place. And
that boy could dance.
Yeah, he could dance. That old man
could dance. Right around that jail cell with that young lady in it.
Only our prime minister has only one to say, well, he'll look into it. Whatever that means. Because you know, we know how politicians go.
You mean the same way?
Yeah, but
the PM is still committed to making energy reform documents public?
It could be one of those. Also, what I want to talk about, tomorrow, Tuesday, you think they could allow us to go early to go to the Southern Recreation Park?
To do the what? The thing?
The book launch. I tried to talk to Chris Curry, but he didn't answer his phone.
No, I reached out to Dr. Curry.
Yeah.
Right? He was unavailable because there was
he could send people.
There was an auxiliary event for the book launch that was taking place this morning.
That's why he answered his phone.
No, he gave me a number to reach out to, but unfortunately I got a studio guest.
Okay.
Right? So I wasn't able to accommodate the discussion.
Yeah.
But hopefully the Ministry of Education. So Dr. Curry said the best entryway conversation is Ministry of Education.
I wouldn't talk to the authors, man. I don't want to talk to the Ministry of Education.
Well, you get a copy of the book and we just call the authors.
That means I have to pay for it?
I didn't say pay for it. I said you get a copy of the book.
Someone needs to give it to me free.
I mean, I'm a procurement specialist.
Yes. Yes. But we know two or three persons personally who we have invited on our show who has contributed to the new textbook, the history textbook itself. We know Christopher Davis, with his junk new piece.
Hi, Heritage, Clifton Heritage. Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uncle Sarah, Cleveland Enius III, he is referenced in the book, and he did some contribution in his research, especially with his Baintown.
Dr. Cleveland Enius III, also known as Calhoun Uncle Sarah of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah.
The two historians.
Grace Turner, Dr. Grace Turner.
Yeah, Grace Turner. Her name escaped me.
Lawler.
Mr. Lawler and Jim his
Lawler,
daughter. And his daughter.
And Lisa Feller.
Yes, they contributed to the book.
All
and
right.
You know, Chris Lawler was on our show also.
Yeah.
So it's good to see people who we have referenced who we have referenced and invited on our show to be a part of this monumental, and the Ministry of Education is taken to a different level altogether. They're excited.
Mm-hmm.
They're excited because in last 30, 40, 50 years, something like that, the book has not been updated. And they did now a comprehensive modernization of Bahamian history in this new textbook. New ways of looking at our history. It's very Bahamian-centric. And it's a big deal. It's something to be proud about. It's something that Bahamians should go and get access to the book to see what the difference in how they write things, right? We know Christopher Davis completely revolutionary, so I can imagine his contribution in that. So I'm hoping to get one or two of the authors themselves. Of course, Ministry of Education, to explain why they took on this project. And there's a feather inside the PLP administration's hat, right? Because they didn't have to do it. And I'm assuming that they initiated. I'm not sure if it started from the administration. But it's something that they could brag about. To have so many different authors and established authors. Mary Colas is mentioned also, and she gives some reference to that. You call Turner is mentioned. Big names in the Bahamas. So this is not an ordinary event.
Do you think they have the story about how my great grandfather used to sell cheap Chinese to tourists?
They might.
It's just real.
And few people realize that even though sometimes you do tongue in cheek. You serious?
Yeah, I did.
You serious?
Y'all don't know how be out of time is here. I'm so glad so the people don't have to hear me say how close I am to changing my life to semi-crime. Crime, that's just too much hard work,
and
man.
And few Bahamians know that part of our tourism product. Bahamians used to sell ghosts to tourists.
Yes.
And you come and you buy a ghost to go home with you.
Yes.
And we have newspaper clippings and references and stories of people coming to Andres and buying a spirit, a suck spirit or whatever.
And we've done modernize it. I get a spirit you could take and sit with your Grammy when she's lonely. One you could, you know, send over to the neighbor to bother them every once in a while. We modernize this thing, man.
Anyway, hopefully tomorrow we're able to leave early so we get to see that.
Yes,
happy
sir.
Birthday to our producer.
No, to our station manager.
Station manager. Dwight, oh, Dwight is not 60.
107.
26, 100.
He from Mayaguana. Also, congratulations to Miss Teen Mayaguana. She is the new Miss Teen Universe Bahamas. Tatiana Weaver from Queens College Comet. Miss Mayaguana is now Miss Teen Universe Bahamas.
We need to get him on the show too.
Congratulations.
Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.